I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Yes. Happy Tuesday indeed. Welcome back to Killer Cuties Podcast.
That's us.
Yeah. We are here to talk about the 2017 psychological horror, Mother.
We sure are.
Biblical horror. Easter horror. Happy
Honestly,
Easter, by the way.
It kind of worked out. Nothing says celebrating Easter quite like the film Mother.
Yeah, honestly.
I didn't even plan that. I couldn't have. You picked this movie.
Yeah.
This is all your fault.
Perfect timing.
Perfect.
Yeah, I hope everybody had a safe and happy Sunday, whatever. You know, Sunday.
Yeah. Is this release is
Tuesday after Easter.
Tuesday after Easter. Okay. Well, if you celebrate Easter, happy Easter.
Yeah.
And then if you don't, I hope you had a great weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. Anyway, let's do some news first. I've got a lot.
I love that. Yeah. Hit me up.
Okay. Oh.
Well,
I'll just go first.
Yeah. I'm not getting my phrases correct today. Yeah. So let's not try to force it. You know, let's just go with the flow.
Well, remember last week, or it might have been the week before, when we talked about the Hymn trailer, even though we didn't get to see it?
Yes.
Well, now we can.
Sex.
It's 1 minute, 45 seconds. And, like, forgive me for saying this, because I haven't actually seen The Substance, but it looks like men's answer to The Substance.
Just body horror?
Well, yes, but also, The Substance is like aging and societal pressure on women to be beautiful or whatever.
It's society's pressure on men to play sports.
Sports with Great. Body horror.
Yeah.
So
that must be so hard for them.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that it's wrong, that I'm wrong, because that doesn't sound like fun at all. But I wouldn't be mad if it did end up being like a good sports horror movie, because we haven't had one of those.
That's true. You've been up in arms about it ever since Night Swim.
I think everybody has been up in arms with it ever since Night Swim. I'm not the only one that thought Night Swim was terrible.
No, I just meant specifically honing in on not having a sports horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't mean to ever imply that Night Swim was a fun, good movie.
Oh, okay.
To be clear.
Good. Oh, good. Anyway, let us know what you thought of the trailer in the comments.
Yeah. Tell us your favorite sports horror movie.
And why it's not Night Swim.
My first news, the In Snyder, it's a news article, well, like a reporting article from a reporter whose last name is Snyder. they have reported that Ryan Gosling is on board to produce a new Killer Clowns from Outer Space movie. Huge news for fans, because any attempts at sequels since the original was released have been in, like, development hell. Like, it's just never happened. So it's going to be under Amazon MGM Studios, because Amazon controls the rights to Killer Clowns after they, like, bought out MGM, I think. And the Chiodo brothers, who created the original, have said that, like, for years they've been trying to pitch, like, a trilogy to keep, like, expanding on that universe, or maybe even a mini series about it. So it sounds like they have a lot of ideas. So if it goes well, mayhaps it won't be the only, like, a solo project, you know? It could be more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling, huh? Didn't take him as a outer space clown fan.
I kind of did.
Oh, okay.
He just seems like a interesting guy, you know?
Sure. Okay, well, good for him, I guess. And good for fans of that series I've never seen, or movie I've never seen.
Yeah, maybe we will when the remake comes out. We'll watch both.
We should.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, and see you in 2027.
Can't wait.
probably 8, maybe.
One day.
Yeah. Sooner than that, July of this year, we're getting Jurassic World Rebirth, and we just got a new featurette that I loved. It had some tidbits from the cast and crew in it. I'll give you the highlights. Jonathan Bailey said that this is the sequel for fans of the original and promised it will bring back the wonder of seeing Jurassic Park for the first time. And then screenwriter David Kopp worked closely with Steven Spielberg on the script and said that they included scenes from the original book in this one, which is interesting because I think you and I are slated to read that soon.
Right? I am, if you're joining me still.
I will. Yeah, I absolutely will.
All right. I think it's actually on my list for next month.
Oh, okay. And then director Gareth Edwards said the script feels like a love letter to Steven Spielberg. So all promising, but take it with a grain of salt, seeing as it's coming from the cast and crew and it's in a promo for the film. It's probably just trying to get people to the theater. But if they're right, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Well, I think no matter what, you'd probably be excited for it.
Yeah.
I'm You're still quite literally wearing a Jurassic Park t-shirt right now.
I am! Wow, that wasn't planned. I promise. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I swear.
Next news for me. Stampede Entertainment, the team behind Tremors and its first three sequels, have won back the rights to the original script, which means they now have creative control over the future of the franchise after being shut out of the most recent projects that they've done. They've already said that they won't be doing a remake, and they're not going to be doing their version of like their original Tremors 5 script where they like got shut out after that. But they have said that they have a lot of ideas of putting the Graboids in new and fun places and possibly to feature a return of Kevin Bacon as Val.
I like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I love Kevin Bacon. They said obviously they can't promise anything because it's still very, very early. They just got the rights. So like they're going to start working on it obviously now. But fingers crossed. I would love to see a return of him because he hasn't come back since the first one.
Yeah. And I want Graboids in my fun places.
Oh. Uh-oh.
There's more than one? How many are there?
Tremors? There's like 8, maybe?
Oh, my God. He's only been in one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Tremors doesn't feel like Tremors without Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Well, Fred Ward was in more of them, who plays main guy, Earl. Mm-hmm. Let me see how many there are. I lied. There's 7, but still close.
Still a lot.
Yeah. Fine. And I know there was a TV series that Kevin Bacon was going to come back for. He filmed the pilot, but then it didn't get picked up. So
sad.
Yeah.
Well, something to look forward to.
I will be. I love Tremors.
Me too. We did a whole episode about it on our podcast, Killer Cuties Podcast.
If you guys didn't know, we actually have a podcast. And if you go all the way back to episode
62, I'm making that up.
73.
I was close.
You weren't far off. We did talk about Tremors. Just the first one, though.
Yeah.
We'll save the franchise for when the new one comes out.
Yeah, we'll watch all of them.
Yeah, all 8.
Promise, pinky promise. Last week, Wednesday the 16th, the Ghost Adventures crew made history.
Sorry.
I'm not done yet. Let me get to the punchline.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
By being the first crew to ever investigate the Poltergeist house, which is the house from the Poltergeist movie. It wasn't even like a house where like the Poltergeist things happened because that's not based on a true story. It's literally the house in which the films were filmed.
Yeah.
That's something. But anyway, there's like a they're trying to determine whether there's any merit to the Poltergeist curse. Supposedly there's this curse. A bunch of people died during and shortly after filming. There were a lot of accidents, a lot of weird happenings during filming. And the Ghost Adventures crew went and locked down. So if you're a fan of Polti, or are excited to watch the new season of Ghost Adventures, go watch it. It's live now.
Great.
Yeah. I love Ghost Adventures.
What season are they on?
I couldn't tell you. I don't think I've ever actually watched the show other than, like, being in a hotel and it being on.
The only thing on, yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, occasionally I'll fall asleep to, like, a tried and true episode. You know what I mean?
What do you consider a tried and true episode?
Like Bobby Mackey's.
Mm. Pavalia. That's one of my favorites.
Pavalia is a good one. Or the island with the dolls.
And Island of the Dolls.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
They have 28 seasons, so the one that's going to come out is the 29th.
Holy shit.
I don't know how they're getting away with doing almost 30 seasons of the exact same thing. Like, it's always just like, oh, the spirit box may have said something that's relevant to what we're talking about. Or a light flickers. Or Zach thinks a ghost touched him.
Mm-hmm.
Or he thinks that he got possessed and he had an urge to kill someone. That's the whole show.
Is it me? It's you. It's
no,
you.
It's me. It's me.
It's you.
It's me. my last news. Zach Greger, who wrote and directed Barbarian, which we also talked about way back in the early days of the pod, he has his next project coming out this August. It's called Weapons. And they've started putting out teasers for it. Very, very short, couple of second videos. They're definitely in this new style of marketing that we've seen lately of like very cryptic, not giving anything away. So it's kind of been fun. They put a couple photos out and then the three teasers that they just put out. It just shows security camera footage of the town the night that the events take place, which a little general premise is that children in the town of Maybrook disappeared in the middle of the night at 2:17 a.m. and they never returned home. And so all of the security cameras, like 2:17 a.m. on this night. And that's like, you just kind of get grainy little footages of people running and stuff like that and these kids. Mm. So it's kind of fun. I'm excited. I really liked Barbarian. So I'm looking forward to his next project.
Yeah.
And I love a little marketing gimmick.
Sure.
Yeah. You can check him out on New Line Cinema's socials.
Cute. I'll check him out.
You should. Highly recommend. Take seconds of your day.
Yeah, that could be good. Is it found footage or is it just the found footage from the film, you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a whole found footage film or if that's just like the marketing that they're doing.
Interesting. Yeah. Kind of reminiscent of like security camera footage is kind of reminiscent of like Paranormal Activity, I think, of the security footage outside the houses in the later films.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway. All right, one more quick one from me, and then I'll give us a summary of Mother.
Okie dokie.
I just thought this one was funny. Robert Eggers revealed that the dialogue in his upcoming werewolf film, Werewolf, will be entirely in Middle English.
Amazing.
So I guess it was leaked that the entire film would be in Old English, and Eggers put out a statement saying...
No.
I'm paraphrasing. You fucking idiots. It's set in the 13th century, so it's in Middle English.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Obviously.
Yeah. I thought that was cute.
Yeah. It feels like another one of his films that I'm going to love when I can watch with subtitles.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah. I just hope it's not in black and white.
Not a black and white fan.
I didn't like The Lighthouse as much as his other films that were... lit with period accurate lighting.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, fair.
And not in black and white. Anyway, okay, let's talk about Mother.
Okay.
From Google, a young woman played by Jennifer Lawrence spends her days renovating the Victorian mansion that she lives in with her husband, played by Javier Bardem, in the countryside. When a stranger knocks on the door one night, he becomes an unexpected guest in their home. Later, his wife and two children also arrive to make themselves welcome. Terror soon strikes when the beleaguered wife tries to figure out why her husband is so seemingly friendly and accommodating to everyone but her. Darren Aronofsky wrote and directed this one, and it also stars Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer, Kristen Wiig, and Domhnall Gleeson. It had a $30 million budget and made $44.5 million at the global box office. It has a 6.6 out of 10 rating on IMDb, a 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and a 68% critics and 52% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. Reviews are so split, you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, skip like 40 minutes now if you'd like to know what we thought about it.
Yeah.
Or listen to us talk for 40 minutes.
Yeah, about fun facts. We got fun facts.
We do, yeah.
And our thoughts.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't go.
Come back. How are you after watching this? Are you okay?
Wow, thank you for asking so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was told, so I'm at a little disadvantage here, having mm-hmm. had the point of the movie spoiled for me, and yes. also the scene. I was under the impression that a baby would be carried away from his mother and it would be very sad. I was not under the impression that a baby would be carried away and his neck would be broken and he would be pissing everywhere and everybody would be screaming and it would be terrible. I was prepared for the first. I was not prepared for second.
I really did. I tried to warn you.
Yeah.
I sent her another disclaimer yesterday before you watched it. I said, hey. Whatever you got to do to protect your peace, you go ahead and do, because you're not going to like this.
Yeah. I think what bothered me the most, and this should not come as a surprise to anyone, was the sound of the neck breaking. That really bothered me.
Yeah. I was hoping that you would like look up, does the dog die?
I did. I didn't even get that far, though.
Okay. Yeah. I almost told you to mute during that part, but I thought that would like fully give it away before you had decided if you wanted to give it away for yourself. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah.
Like that, just like that 1 second, just like replaying in my head, which is so fun for me, but,
yeah. Today, me and our friend Anitra, who requested Wolf of Snow Hollow. We talked about her a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing some video games together. And I said, guess what movie we're filming tonight? And I said, Mother. And she goes, uh-oh, that's not good. I was like, Katie requested it. I can't be blamed. And she just goes, oh God.
Yeah.
It is the two things you hate most. So it was...
Oh, babies and snapping.
Yeah, the snapping sound and then children being in severe peril. Distress and danger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, children in peril.
Mm-hmm.
And bones.
Well, I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad you didn't message me and say the podcast is canceled.
Yeah, no. No.
Well, should we get to some fun facts?
I suppose. Well, I'll start along the lines of like sound or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And this is more about me than it is about the film. Sorry, but I am quite possibly the first person to notice the score in a film. Mm. But for whatever reason, I did not notice that there was no music in this.
Really?
I literally, when I read the fact about Johan Johansson having done the score, I was like, well, I don't remember hearing anything that sounded even remotely like his music.
Yeah.
And then I kept reading and it was like, but he had to pull out or whatever. He decided, Darren and he decided that the film would be better off without music, which is fine, I guess. But anyway, when they're like, yeah, and then they decided to go with no sound at all. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I literally didn't believe them. I had to go and watch the movie a little bit again and be like, oh my God, there's literally no music in this.
Yeah, none.
Yeah.
It's just the sounds of the house and the people and that's it.
Crazy. And I wonder if I would have enjoyed it more, not to give away, that doesn't mean anything about my score at all. I wonder if I would have enjoyed it more had it had a score, but I do think it stands on its own two legs without.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily needed one. Would I still like to hear the one that Johansson did? Yes, I would, because he did Arrival, and that's a fantastic film with a beautiful score.
Yes.
That I know because I pay attention to those things now.
Yeah. It's the least you can do.
It really is. I'm still kind of in the phase where I'll watch a movie and be like, wow, I think that was a really good score. And then I'll look it up just to make sure I'm right. Like, just to make sure that that is the correct opinion to have.
Yeah.
And usually I'm right.
I believe it.
Thank you. I'm learning. A couple fun facts about just like the making of the film and its reception. Sure. It took Darren Aronofsky 5 days to write the script, which is the fastest he's ever written one. And I think he said he like woke up in the middle of the night and wrote it. He was supposed to be working on another film or something and then had this idea.
That's interesting because it's literally just the Bible, but okay.
It sure is.
Pretend that you had that idea, I guess. Well, somebody did.
I think it was, you know, his take on biblical subject matters. Yeah, anyways, then it was released. It was Jennifer Lawrence's worst box office that she's ever had. Well, wide release. At the time of the release, too. I don't know if that's still true. And it famously earned a very rare F score from CinemaScore. I think only like 23 movies, 24 maybe, including this, have gotten an F rating.
That's insane.
I do think that because the CinemaScore is, they poll people after the movie, right? Yeah. And it's like, I think they only do it the first weekend or the first 2 weekends or something like that. It's like, you really don't have any context going into it when you're surveyed. And I think, I mean, obviously, like, it's a very controversial film with controversial moments in it, so that probably didn't help it. But then also, I don't think the marketing helped it either. I think it was a little bit, I think a lot of people went into this thinking it was something other than it was, myself included. I didn't see it in theaters, but I remember I had only watched the trailer and then heard that, like, it was controversial, and that's all I knew. And the trailer made it seem like it was a home invasion. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think a lot of people went into it thinking that it was going to be, not this giant metaphor. So it's probably a different audience that went to see it than should have.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was a home invasion.
It was, but not in a way that I think people who went to see the movie thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I guess a lot of folks thought that because there were so few details released about the movie and because of the poster being like almost a one-to-one of the Rosemary's Baby poster, they thought it was going to be a remake of Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Mother, baby. So I can imagine people were upset that it was not that also.
Yeah, true. And since then, like, its most famous posters now aren't the one that's recreating it. But way back when it was first being released, they did have one that was that.
Right.
I think it was the house instead of the stroller.
Mm-hmm. I will say this is another thought, not necessarily a fun fact. I will also say that I didn't put together. The end was still very much a twist for me, which was nice. I feel like I got something out of the end. Like, I didn't put together that it was going to be a cycle until the very end. At the beginning, when you see, like, the bloody face or whatever, and it's not Jennifer Lawrence, I was like, is that – that doesn't look like Jennifer Lawrence. I didn't put it together that it was supposed to be a different person. Like, it was a different person until the end, and it was a different person after the ashes again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry, I don't know where that thought came from, but it came into my head, and I needed to say it.
No, I love it.
Thank you.
That's what we're here for, to say everything that pops into our mind. Honestly.
Yeah.
Some of filming fun facts. Jennifer Lawrence is barefoot the entire movie. And it was her idea to do that because she wanted to show Mother's connection to the house. But due to that, I think there was one scene she was running through the house and like stubbed her toe on a dresser or something like that. And yeah, so the crew had to kind of go through and make sure that everything was sanded down. There weren't any splinters. There were no nails. And then they put little, like, styrofoam protection all around the bottoms of things so that she wouldn't get hurt again.
Oof.
And then she did get hurt again.
She did. She did.
She broke a rib? Yeah. During one of the scenes, she started hyperventilating, broke a rib, and had to... I think that she was put on oxygen. That's all that it said. I didn't know if they, like, had to take her to the hospital. I'm sure if she cracked a rib.
I mean, you can't do anything for a cracked rib. You just walk around with it. It's like a broken toe.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, been there, done that.
No, thank you. Mm-hmm. But they did make a little room on set to keep her relaxed after that because she had been through it. So they put up a little tent with scented candles and gumballs and TV clips of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
She does love herself some Kardashians. That's funny. Oh, they really catered to her, didn't they? That's how you treat your actresses, people.
Well, the director started dating her, so clearly. he had an affinity for her.
I guess so. Should we talk about the Bible of it all?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, him, Javier Bardem.
Mm-hmm.
Is God.
Yes.
He creates, this is all very, like, on the nose. He creates Adam and Eve, that's man and woman. He's the only actor, or sorry, the only character whose name is stylized with a capital first letter, which is 1-to-1 for the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The book he wrote, the first book that they had all the copies of, is the Old Testament. And then the New Testament starts with the impregnation of the Virgin Mary. And then he gets more followers. That's the basis of Christianity. Jennifer Lawrence is both Gaia and the Virgin Mary. That's pretty straightforward. Man and woman, Adam and Eve. The rib injury, I didn't catch that one watching the movie. I actually didn't really catch most of the religion stuff. I was just thinking about it from the lens of, like, Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Until she said... She says something on the lines of, like, why are you letting this happen or whatever? Or, like, how can you let this happen? And then it dawned on me, like, oh, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
The rib injury was a really good one. That was, like, and then Eve arrives the next day. Mm-hmm. Crazy. That was a good one. And then they have sex. And when woman comes to the door, she's wearing a bra with leaves on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam and Eve, when they were in the, and they wore leaves. Yeah. So then the house is Earth, obviously. The study is the Garden of Eden. The crystal is the forbidden fruit. The sons are Cain and Abel. They murder. One of them murders the other one. I forget who's who. Doesn't really matter. The sink scene,
mm-hmm,
is the flood. That's when everybody finally leaves. They break the sink and the house starts to flood. That's the flood.
The Great Flood.
The Great Flood.
Some call it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the baby, obviously, is a metaphor for Jesus. He's given gifts when he's born. He's crucified. Everybody's like, no, he's not dead. That's the faith in the resurrection. And then the eating of the flesh of Christ, the communion. They eat the baby.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sure is.
Yeah, it's so on the nose. And again, I don't know if knowing any of this was helpful or harmful in watching this, but oof. Anyway, happy Easter.
Sorry. I was like, do I have thoughts on that? And then I decided I don't. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's just all I'm seeing it as is an adaptation of a previous work of fiction. It is, which is fine. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. And I think it's interesting. I think that a lot of the stories, maybe it's because I watched VeggieTales growing up, but a lot of the stories in the Bible are interesting. And being able to pull parallels to all of them in one film is interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think the way he kind of adapted those stories to fit the movie, for the most part, I think worked well.
Yeah.
I do think that this is an idea that should have been like a 20 to 30 minute short.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we just stretched it out a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think this needed to be 2 hours.
I thought it was 3 hours. When it was over, I was like, oh my God, that was the longest 3 hours of my life. And then it was only two.
it feels like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of to that point that you were just talking about, it was originally titled Day Six, which is another biblical reference to the 7 days that it took God to create Earth. I think Mother works better.
I like Mother better.
Yeah.
And the stylization with the exclamation point is a reference to the last 30 minutes of the film, the end of the film.
The movie's marketing team for this came... No. For this? No, I just started talking about a different movie for some reason. Sorry. You imagine? The movie's marketing team, and it's not this movie that I'm talking about. That'd be crazy. Anyways, they came under a good amount of fire after they hired an artist to paint a mural of the film in Sydney, Australia. But apparently they covered up like a 20-year-old painting by a local artist, and it had depicted animals in a cityscape below the words, "It's like a jungle sometimes." And I guess that refers to a song by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. I don't know that song, but I'm going to look it up later. Yeah, apparently Darren Aronofsky was super embarrassed that that happened. He apologized on behalf of the ad agency, Apparition Media, and a spokesperson for them said that they were unaware of the iconic nature of the mural and that they regretted their terrible mistake. And I believe since then, the agency has contacted the mural's original artist and offered to help restore it. So
I can't tell if they did restore it. Have you seen it? Did you look it up?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I kind of like the mural better, the Mother mural.
Yeah, but I feel like it's one of those things. It's like when it's a mural's been a part of your community for so long, and I'm sure a bunch of people knew the artist since they were local.
Yeah.
Like it's probably just part of your town.
Yeah.
So when a movie comes in and just paints over it, I'd probably be pissed too. That's fair. I don't care if the marketing is beautiful. Like,
yeah. If anybody came and painted over the Jackie Daytona mural in downtown Tucson, I'd be pissed. So
exactly.
I guess I can relate.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like everybody who did it regretted it.
Good. Good for them.
So... as they should.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk about the baby some more?
If you want to, yeah, we can.
I don't, but we should get it over with.
Yeah, okay.
Did we talk about 20th Century Fox? Didn't want it. Paramount barely picked it up because of the baby scene.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence has also not seen the scene. She felt that was crossing the line.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you're not wrong. But it was the scenes were filmed with a combination of a real baby and four animatronic babies.
Mm-hmm.
The real one was obviously the one that she held, and the others were the ones for the rest of the scene. And I just thought it was funny on the IMDb fun fact. It said,
yep.
It said passing the baby around, which obviously couldn't be done with a real baby. Like, what? That was so obvious. You didn't need to say that it was obvious. Like, we know that it wasn't a real baby getting its neck snapped, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, it's interesting they felt that needed to be said. But yeah, they've had a lot of difficulties finding a distributor. And I think you said Paramount eventually picked it up, but they only did so because of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which makes sense. The cast is kind of stacked. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Two Oscar winners, three Oscar nominees. Javier Bardem, Jennifer Lawrence have both won. Ed Harris, Kristen Wiig, and Michelle Pfeiffer have all been nominated. And Kristen Wiig even being billed for this movie is crazy to me.
Yeah, she was the last person cast.
Yeah, and very last minute, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she had to, like, make time out of her schedule just to do it. And she just did it because she wanted to work with Aronofsky.
Which, fine. And this is her second non-comedic film appearance, following All Good Things in 2010.
Hmm.
It's also her first horror film.
Nice.
And her first on-screen death.
Nice.
Which would make sense.
I feel like her death wasn't even that... I mean, you could argue she did... I mean, everybody died, I guess. But, like, the bomb blast that hit her, she could have lived through that.
Maybe.
Gonna write a... 10-page conspiracy theory that the Herald lived.
The only one. And that's why she was built so high.
That's why she was built so high. It's her and God chilling in the next world.
Yeah. Did you recognize anybody else in this movie that you maybe wouldn't have recognized previously?
No, but now I feel like I should.
Yeah, you should have.
Who? Do you even know who you're talking about?
I do. I was trying to remember the character's name or the actress's name, and I can't remember. Hold on.
Okay.
Emily Hampshire, who plays Stevie in Schitt's Creek, which you just started watching last week.
Oh.
She's the one on the sink. One of the ones on the sink.
Okay. Yeah.
She caused the flood.
Yeah, I guess I should have, but I didn't. I didn't recognize her.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I was kind of more focused on other things in that scene, you know?
Such as?
The distress of Jennifer Lawrence's character. The anxiety of them bouncing on the sink.
Yeah.
It's a very anxiety-riddled movie.
It really is. This, I think, is the second best movie to reference The Great Flood after Evan Almighty. You don't like that movie?
I thought you were gonna say like that we've watched, and I was like, I don't remember watching a movie. But you just meant any movie ever that's referenced The Great Flood. That's great. Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of Evan Almighty. If I'm
no,
I thought Bruce Almighty was great.
Evan Almighty is better than Bruce Almighty.
That's not true.
It's so much
that's
better.
Objectively not true.
It's hilarious. Are you looking up the ratings?
I am, but only because I really question your taste in, like, comedies.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Bruce Almighty doesn't have that good of a score either. What? People didn't like that movie? I haven't seen it in years, but I loved that movie when it came out. Granted, I was, like, 10, so.
Yeah, we were children.
It probably seemed like a great movie.
Yeah. It's got Jim Carrey in it. What's not to love?
Anyways, it's still double the percentage of Evan Almighty, so I would say.
That's funny.
I would say it wins.
Yeah, I am an Evan Almighty stan. I love Evan Almighty. Great film.
Yeah, I honestly, checks out. Sure. That makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, I can talk about Dune because Javier Bardem is in Dune.
If you must.
That was it.
Oh, great. Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that I got to talk about Dune today.
Yeah.
And Javier right. Bardem was in Dune. Wow. Yay. Is in Dune.
Sure. I don't think anybody from Buffy was on here, so that helps me.
That should be our new counter.
Buffy versus.
How many times can we seamlessly loop in Buffy? And how many times can we seamlessly... Or awkwardly, like I just did.
Yeah, I was like, you did not do it seamlessly. And you're always going to win that competition because you're always thinking about Dune. And I'm normal, so I don't always think about Buffy. So
you're telling me if you saw a movie, that's not even close to being true. If you saw a movie and somebody from Buffy was in it, you'd be like, oh my God, this person's from Buffy. And you would have either messaged me and said, oh my God, don't forget this person's in Buffy. Remember when this person was in Buffy? When are you going to finish Buffy?
When are you going to finish Buffy, though? That's a valid question.
I don't know. Were you watching more of it today and you didn't invite me?
I didn't know you were home.
Yeah, also, Mondays and Fridays. Yeah.
Why didn't you join? Also, you had said really you were watching busy. This, so I...
I was also watching this. I was busy and I watched this.
All right, so I think we've answered your question then.
Yeah, well...
And also... Usually, if someone in Buffy is in one of the movies we watch, I do mention it, so...
That's what I'm saying!
Fair, I guess. What can I connect to this? Jennifer Lawrence was in another horror movie that we'll watch eventually, and her last name in that movie, her character's last name in that movie, is my name, Cassidy.
Oh, cute!
So there you go.
Great.
I connected it to my own life. My reality.
Wow.
So suck it, Dune.
Dune is my reality? Yeah, kind of. A little bit. That's all I think about, talk about, listen to, watch.
Yeah.
Dune is constantly playing in my house.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyways, back to Mother. Let's talk about this movie.
Sure. What other fun facts do you have?
This movie was nominated for a few Golden Raspberries, which we've talked about that before. It's the awards for, like, shit movies.
Is it the same thing as the Razzies?
Yes. The Golden Raspberries are the Razzies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I follow.
Yeah. So they nominated Jennifer Lawrence for Worst Actress. They nominated Javier Bardem for Worst Actor and Darren Aronofsky for Worst Director.
Why?
Like, universal backlash. Particularly for Lawrence's nomination, because even people who hated the movie were like, no, she was the best part of it.
Yeah.
So wrong. So yeah, they received a lot of backlash for that. And I agree. I don't think they deserved that.
I don't think so either.
Well, I don't know what other things were nominated that year. Maybe I'll look and be like, oh shit. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, this I don't understand all the hate. I think that a lot of the hate, at least scrolling through like the Rotten Tomatoes reviews, were from people who didn't get it.
I don't think so.
No.
I think a lot of people got this, but still just it wasn't for them.
I don't understand them, but
fair.
Whatever. Watch it again.
Watch it again to this movie is crazy.
I would just not watch the one scene.
Okay. Fair.
And now I know it's coming, so it'd be much more enjoyable the second time around.
There you go, yeah.
I wouldn't get thrown off. And also, I was ready for the movie to end in that scene. Everybody's like, oh, that's the end. It's the end of the movie. I'm thinking it's the last scene, and I still had to fucking sit through it for another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really threw me off.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's okay.
Do you have any other fun facts?
I don't think so. I'm ready to rate it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, how scary do you think it was?
I give it a 1. I gave it like half a point because I do remember when I first went to see it, I was on edge for the beginning. Granted, I still thought it was a home invasion movie, and that's my worst fear. So, you know, I was in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what about you?
I also gave it a 1 because yeah. I was horrified.
Yep.
I wasn't scared. Necessarily.
Fair.
Yeah.
How sexy did you think it was?
I mean, I can appreciate the casting of Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence, definitely. Michelle Pfeiffer, possibly even. But in general, this movie did not have sex appeal at all.
Yeah.
And any sex appeal that it did have went out the window in the scene.
Yeah.
But I still give it a 2.
Okay.
You?
I gave it a 1.5 just for the cast.
Yeah.
And how dare you for mentioning everybody but Ed Harris.
Fine. He can be mentioned. But... His character was intolerable.
Yeah, every character was, except for Mother. So,
yeah, him especially, though. The first man, it's everything is his fault.
No, it's quite literally him's fault. That's kind of the whole point.
That's true.
It's like pretty clearly outlined. Nope, you're going to ask me that.
Yeah, I'll ask you. How fucked up did you think it was?
I give it a 3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost entirely for the baby scene. But especially for the last 30 minutes is, it's like watching every horrible thing that's happened on Earth all in the span of like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I also gave it exactly a 3.5.
Wow. Look at us go. Aligning.
Yeah. It's that one scene really bumped it up. But I do also think it's incredibly fucked up. It's like looking in a mirror.
Excuse me?
The.
Oh, like the people destroying. I was like. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean is you just said, you just referenced the baby scene and then you said it's like looking in a mirror.
No, that's I mean crazy the work. Movie. The movie is like looking in a mirror with how fucked up the world is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's valid.
3.5. I mean, it touched on like political discourse, like the fanaticism, like all of that is happening right now. The planet's going to shit. They even mentioned like global warming. It's all...
It's covering a lot of ground
in this
1 30 minutes.
yeah, I mean, you said it best. It's like everything that's wrong with the world, all in a digestible 15-minute-long sequence.
Yeah. All right. Well, overall, what did you think of Mother?
I did enjoy it.
Okay.
I did like watching it. I think I enjoyed it more knowing what I was looking for,
mm-hmm.
which is a little bit of an unfair advantage. I would personally recommend, at least to like most people, that they go into it knowing that, because it's more fun to kind of pick it apart and yeah. make those parallels as you're watching. I also think that I think my rating would have been worse had I not known. I think my rating might have been better had there been a score for me to kind of like grab onto. The acting was good. The gore was kind of fun. It was like fun gore, you know, it was kind of fun.
Okay.
Like, oh, except the one scene.
Yeah.
I didn't think the concept was too on the nose. I know that was a complaint to some people, is that the concept was like too...
You said on the nose like 9 times at the start of this episode.
Yeah, it is on the nose. It is, but it's not too much, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, I gave it a 4.
Wow.
I actually really did like it.
I can tell.
It was fun. It was fun, like, oh yeah, that she's trying to, Earth does try to fix herself. Like, oh yeah, she's drinking water and she's putting yellow stuff in it. It's like sunshine and rain. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just fun to be like, it was a little distracting.
Yeah. Fun. Okay.
Yeah. It was like a little puzzle. It was like an activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Got my gears turning. You know?
Yeah.
As opposed to like blank stare the whole time, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
My brain was working.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Okay, so I think there are some films where men try to tackle the issue of women suffering and it just doesn't hit.
Okay.
So in my brain, I put this movie kind of in the same category as I do of like some of the rape revenge movies that men have done, where they're trying to show how terrible it is that something is happening to a woman, but then makes you sit through that thing for 30 fucking minutes and just watch a woman have her baby die, get beat up while she's pregnant, get her shit kicked at the end of the movie, and then die. And so at that point, to me, it comes off like you just enjoy watching that instead. And the point is kind of lost on me. So it's just not my type of movie. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'm sad that you liked it. Or I'm not sad that you liked it. I'm sad that, you know, we don't agree.
Yeah.
I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Interesting.
I do think the performances are very good. I think some of it is shot very well, but overall, I find it very bloated. I think it's kind of pretentious. And honestly, there's a girl on Rotten, well, I don't know, a person on Rotten Tomatoes who I think said it better than I ever could. And I'm going to read the review. Laura Staub said, "Should we require the satire of misogynistic violence executed in the name of creation? We do not need it from Aronofsky, who is all extremes and no nuance." And I agree with that perfectly. There's no nuance. It is kind of on the nose. And it just comes off as like women suffering porn to me.
Oh.
I just don't want to watch her go through that.
That's such an interesting take.
Yeah, sorry.
I
don't like it.
I guess I saw past the personification enough to where that didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had context going into it, but even still. Yeah.
I don't think it was like beating a dead horse at all with... Because everything that happened to her was a different parallel. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, they're destroying the Earth. It's like, this is how they're destroying the Earth. And this is how they're destroying the Earth. You know what I mean? So maybe that's why it doesn't bother me quite as much.
Yeah. I think it, I don't know. Those last 30 minutes just kind of go past that to me.
Interesting.
Yeah. He loves tragedy porn, though. Fuck.
Really? What else has he done?
Requiem for a Dream.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and watch it. You tell me if that guy enjoys watching people suffer or not.
Ew. Gross.
Yeah, that movie is often put in the category of like movies that aren't horror movies, but should be.
Requiem?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was.
It's not. But he also did The Whale too. Tragedy porn. Like, it's just, bro loves it. Can't get enough of it.
The whale didn't strike me as that either. The whale was fucking sad.
Yeah, tragedy porn. That's what I'm saying.
You just want, like, just you're getting so sad.
No, it's just like every bad thing that you could imagine happening to one person, just throw it all on them.
Oh, well, no, that's not what happens in the whale.
Okay.
It's just the one bad thing that happens to him.
Sure.
And the consequences of that one thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I don't like this movie.
Fair. You're entitled to that opinion. It's weird, but
the weirdness is not what I don't like about it at all.
No, I mean, like, your opinion's like weird, not the movie.
Oh, I was like, the weirdness, I don't mind at all of it. It's not that weird. I think a lot of people share my sentiment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never would have thought that.
Sorry. You're like a real film bro, though. You can go on Letterboxd and be like, oh, I love this movie.
Yeah. It's not only men that like it, is it? Yikes. I just think it was fun to...
Women I follow dissect. Don't like it.
Oh my god. Crazy.
But no, there are people who like this movie. You're fine.
Oh, good.
The real question is, would you survive?
No. Nobody does. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
Except him. Ugh, annoying. Would you?
No. Like you said, everybody but God dies, and I am not God. So I'll die.
Fine. Good.
Great. Good.
We agree on something.
We do, finally. All right. Do you want to predict next week's movie?
Yeah.
Okay. We are going to talk about One Cut of the Dead.
Yes. I just have like a quick synopsis.
Okay, great. You've prepared something.
One sentence.
Oh, one sentence.
Just one sentence. Yeah.
Great.
This movie is about a butcher.
Yep.
Murderer. He is a butcher and a murderer. He doesn't murder butchers. He's a butcher murderer.
Got it. A butcher who murders, if you will.
Yes. And he includes a piece of his murder victims in every package of meat that he sells.
Wow.
One cut of the dead.
One cut of the dead.
Yep.
Nice. Does he get caught?
No.
Oh, of course. I'm so sorry.
God, what kind of question is that?
Yeah.
It's, you know,
it's like cannibalism a little bit.
Well, sort of.
Unknowing.
Unknowing cannibalism.
Damn.
Yeah. And perhaps the people who are eating the one cuts are like going crazy or something, or there's some sort of like infection happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun. Okay. And he just gets away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. Close?
Nope. But no, but it's going to be a movie that you're going to go into blind, 'cause I think that that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to do that.
Yeah.
I've been watching too many trailers recently, but I also haven't been seeing too many new movies, so.
Valid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually going to be our first foreign language film of the year. We had to move stuff around at the beginning. I know we were supposed to do one earlier, but we had to move some stuff around and then we took a break, so this is the first one.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Fun. Okay, cool. Exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please feel free to like and subscribe. We would appreciate it greatly.
And don't forget to comment what you thought about the Him trailer.
The Him trailer, what your favorite sports horror movie is.
Yeah.
Also, let us know who you agreed with, because we were this might be our biggest separation. 2 points?
2 points.
2 points. That's pretty big. Just tell us who's right and who's wrong. Only if I'm right. If Katie's right, in your opinion, keep it to yourself. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate the support. And we'll see you next week for One Cut of the Dead.
Bye.
Bye.